Our study tonight is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, Understanding Our Spiritual Gifting for Ministry. As seen in the misunderstandings about spiritual gifts that abound in various Christian circles, many believers wonder what are spiritual gifts, why they are needed, and if or how they can acquire some specific gift for some specific effective ministry. Well, this passage that we're having tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 to 11, covers these questions. So we view the passage for our insight and our edification. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit the whole or the general group. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, these would be human languages, to another the interpretation of the languages. But all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dispersing to every man severally as he will. Okay. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, Paul noted that believers in Christ are utterly dependent on God the Holy Spirit for all spiritual understanding and all enabling for spiritual effectiveness in ministry, the very basis of spiritual gifts. And he clarifies this in a very interesting passage in the first three verses. In starting to address spiritual gifts, Paul wanted his readers to know an important fact, namely, that before salvation and one's reception of the Holy Spirit, the believer was helplessly led about by false teachers to worship dumb idols in spiritual darkness. Now, we weren't raised, you weren't and I wasn't raised in a pagan background. We had the American culture with its Christian cultural trappings and so forth. But it is a fact that before we were saved, we were absolutely powerless to avoid being deceived into that which was errant and wrong. Because people who are separate from Christ are actually enemies of God. The Bible calls us children of Satan. So it's interesting that we have to be realistic when we look at ourselves. Apart from the Spirit of God, we cannot minister. It's a mistake for a Christian to think that he can minister apart from God and apart from the power of God. It's absolutely impossible. So Paul wanted his Christian readers to know that nobody speaking by means of the Holy Spirit says Jesus is accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. So the spiritual dynamics are so immense, seen in how one needs the Lord even to make a correct basic confession about Christ, that every believer needs God's supernatural enabling to serve him effectively. If I did not have God's supernatural enabling, I could not minister up here behind the pulpit at all. You couldn't serve the Lord effectively at all either. You couldn't even make a confession that Jesus is the Lord. That has to be from the Holy Spirit. So, God has helped us. He has given supernatural spiritual gifts or enablings of believers as follows. Verse 4, the same God has given differing allotments. The Greek word is diaireses, and it means the idea is on dispersing. He's given them out of spiritual gifts. Charisma, we get the word charismatic from it, but it's the word gifts. And what a gift is an ability for service. Now, if you know Jesus as your Savior here tonight, you have a supernatural gift, an ability that God gave you when you were saved. And he wants you to use that supernatural ability for him. And it's at the point of salvation. You say, well, I'm kind of young. I'm only 5 or I'm 6. Let me tell you, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, even if you're 5 and 6, you have a supernatural gift right now. And God wants to use that supernatural gift for his ability, for his service. And he wants you to begin to fan it into flame now, like 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse says. So we have that same gift. Secondly, the same God is giving different allotments, that's the word diaresis again, of ministries. This is the word diakonia. We get the word deacon from it. And these are ministry assignments in which these abilities are used. Not only do you have a supernatural gift or ability, you are assigned by God specific tasks. It could be a task, like say at Nipog Church, it could be a specific task that the Lord has assigned you to serve him. And it's not a mistake that you're doing what you're doing if you're serving the Lord. That's something that the Lord has arranged. He's worked. And so you're serving him in that area if you are serving him. And then also the same God has given different allotments, there's the word diaresis again, of activities. This is the word energema. We got the word energy from this. And these are activities, actual workings with an ability in a ministry assignment for a specific effect. There is a special effect that God wants to produce through your ministry that he can't produce through somebody else because he hasn't given them that energeia. It's a unique contribution that you make to the body of Christ. Nobody else can make it. And it's absolutely necessary. So we should never view ourselves as being someone who clutters up the landscape so that we're of no use to the church. That's not true. God has so impacted the body of Christ that he's made every person an integral, necessary part. It's like a motor, an engine. If you take any of the parts of the motor out, it doesn't work right. Think of it like one of the little rings that goes around the piston. And what the ring is supposed to do is to keep the explosions from going out from the top down and so forth. You take one of those rings out, you have a problem because the gasoline is exploding and mixing with the oil inside, and all of a sudden you're going to have this big pile of black smoke that comes out the back. All because you're just missing a little ring around the piston. So it's important to make sure that we got all the rings properly around the pistons. Same in a church. Now, we have an illustration here. I was thinking when I gave this illustration of a lady in our church by the name of Nancy Eldridge. My wife and I have thought about this. We think that she has the gift of faith. That's actually listed in one area. And she loves to bring up prayer requests during our morning worship service. And she always volunteers to take prayer chain. She loves prayer chain. Why? Because she's seen many answers to prayer. Why? She uses this ability. It's the gift of faith used in the office of Nipog Church prayer chain with the activity of encouraging believers who face dire trials in their lives to trust the Lord for results. If you have a chance sometime, talk to Nancy about the life of faith and what it means to trust the Lord. She'll tell you, oh yeah, piece of cake, just trust the Lord. It'll get done. You know, no question. It's just automatic. She loves that. And so that's a typical characteristic. Now we've got, the same goes for all believers. I could have named others here. It's a unique gift that God has given with a special assignment in a local church, usually in the local church, and then with the activity that has a special emphasis. Now, every believer has been given from God such a supernatural gift to be used in the ministry assigned him by God through a special working for edifying the whole rest of the body. You'll notice in verse 7, in 1 Corinthians 12, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Withal, a better would say, profit the common good. The whole church needs you. Think of it. The whole church needs you, needs your gift at work. The whole church is benefited if your gift is being used. If your gift isn't being used, the whole church is hurt to the extent that it's not having its needs met in some area. So it's very, very important. Every believer and everyone who's here tonight has a spiritual gift that is necessary for the whole rest of the body. And it's not just one or two people. It's an influence that affects everybody. Now, Paul then gave a list of differing gifts that the Holy Spirit had given to various believers in verses 8 through 10. And I will just go through these briefly. The Holy Spirit has given to some the word of wisdom. The word Sophia means applying knowledge with the best means and ends in view. That's what wisdom is. That's a unique emphasis that could be given with a teacher gift, could be given with an administration gift. Anyway, it's one that has an emphasis on applying knowledge. The Spirit has also given some the word of knowledge, gnosis. And this is the capacity to acquire, to recall, and apply spiritual facts. That happens to be my area. When I was being ordained, there were seven pastors who were questioning me. And as I was answering their questions, they said, "We need to write in the minutes, Don, your gift is in the area of the word of knowledge. You have a capacity to latch onto facts and recall them. And what we recommend that you do is you stay in that emphasis. Because if you get out of that emphasis, God won't use you as much. You need to stay with that emphasis on the focus on the word of knowledge." And so that's what we've done. But each person has his own specific area. The Holy Spirit has given a special ability to trust God for results. That's the gift of faith. That's verse 9. And then other gifts that Paul named that we no longer believe exist, and we'll get into this later when we get into the passage about tongues. We'll get into that. But those gifts are healing. We don't believe that that gift appears today. Otherwise, you would be able to heal everybody who has any kind of cancer or whatnot. And the gift of healing, I also believe, also has the capacity to raise people from the dead, like Paul did and so forth. Remember that man who fell out of the third story window and they took him up dead and Paul worked with him and brought him back to life? That's the gift of healing. Working miracles. Prophecy. This would be predicting future events and having them come to pass with a batting average of 1,000. In other words, you have to have a perfect record there. Speaking God's word in other human languages. That's what the gift of tongues is. Interpreting utterances of those who minister God's word in such languages. Verses 9b to 10 deal with these gifts that we believe no longer exist. And like I said, we'll cover that later in a later passage in Corinthians. However, all of these spiritual gifts assign in specific ministries with their varying kinds of divinely assigned activities for special effects come from the same Holy Spirit who disperses them to every believer as he desires or wills. The word bulomai means as he determines. In other words, opposite the belief of many today, especially in the charismatic movement, no believer decides what gift or ministry assignment or activity effect he is to have. For the Holy Spirit sovereignly determines all of this. Isn't that something? We can't decide, I think I want to go to such and such church and I want to have this kind of ministry. That's not the way it works. God determines what gift we have, what ministry assignment we have, and the special emphasis there. And what we need to do is to work within that. As we work within that, then God blesses. So since apart from the Holy Spirit's enabling, we believers would be utterly unable to minister spiritually or even to make a proper confession about Jesus, God has graciously, sovereignly assigned every one of us a supernatural gift to be used in a specific ministry assignment from God with a specific assigned effect for the good of the entire body. Since a believer has no part in deciding what gift or ministry and effect he will have, he must submit to the Holy Spirit's leading and gifting of him to serve Christ for the good of the whole body where God assigns him. So may we accept and fan into flame, that's what Paul says in 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7, fan into flame, namely develop the supernatural gift that we have been assigned by God in the ministry assignment he gives us with the special effects produced by its activity for the good of the whole rest of the body of Christ. And then may we appreciate the ministries of all other believers unto us. as a pastor, I love to come to church on Sundays, and yes, it's an opportunity to serve the Lord, but what I love about it most is the ministry that I receive from other people. It's just amazing to get my batteries recharged too as I fellowship with the people of God and see that happen. And so there is this interdependency that the Lord has worked on us. I was talking to Jerry Apruzzi after this church service today, and he said, "Pastor, there is a fighter bomber that the United States developed to fly under the radar of enemy nations. And in order to get under the radar and get to its mission, it flies about 1,000 miles an hour, about 100 feet above the ground. Now, no pilot can keep the plane flying that way because you got hills and whatnot. And so they have an automatic system that the pilot turns on. He takes his hands completely off the plane, and the plane flies itself. Sees a telephone wire, goes over it, down like that, a hill up like this, and so forth. Well, when they first started experimenting with this, the pilots became very nervous because here you're flying this plane 1,000 miles an hour, and here comes a hill, and they thought the plane was going to crash into the hill, so they flipped the system off and then tried to get over the hill, and they would crash and kill themselves. So the order went out that when you turn that system on, you put blindfolders on so you can't see. And that way you won't be tempted to flip the automatic off. And then everything goes fine. You just fly like this around, you know, follow the terrain, and you go to the place where you're supposed to bomb. You drop your bomb, you get out of there, and the enemy can't get a hold of you. And Jerry said, "You know, I think this is a good illustration of the fact that we're supposed to trust the Lord." It's like the automatic system. The automatic system has always worked. And even though you're flying the plane that fast, you can't just do it on your own. The same is true, incidentally, with serving the Lord with our gifts. God wants us to work in the supernatural realm that He's assigned us. And there's a reason why He gave us that. It's kind of like an automatic system. And when we are functioning in that realm, we have tremendous power. The problem comes when we want to compare ourselves with someone else and we don't want to do what someone else is doing and it's outside of the realm of our gift. That's when we get into trouble. God doesn't want us to do that. What He wants us to do is to be ourselves, to work with the gift that we have, that we know that we have. Don't compare ourselves to someone else, but stay with that. That's flying on the automatic, and then the Holy Spirit will guide us, give us the power to do that which is good. So what we need to do is to learn to be content with the assignment that God has given us, with the gift that God has given us, with the influence that God has given us with that gift, and work within that realm. And if we do that, we will be richly blessed, and we will be a blessing to other people.